My exhortation is also printed down here, and I've got a copy for you all. I'll sit down and you can listen to it. No, kidding. About an hour ago I was messing around making toasty pies and I thought to myself, if I hadn't washed my hands this morning making those toasty pies, and I'd got some sort of bug on it, and say Leo here or Mark Isaac, they could be sick for a day or two. And might be able to go to work, might have lost their job. The consequences of things that we do, quite often we don't realise. We need to be optimistic in our thinking when we look at our past, present, and the future, to improve our confidence in our loving Father in heaven. Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So that statement by Paul tells us, as disciples of Christ, it's important that we learn to approach life, especially when we have problems. We should seek our Father's help. How do you see your past life? Are you confident that you have been living the right way? Do you think of the past as a learning curve? It can be. But as we are, we're probably negative in our outlooks and we find ourselves perhaps filled with regret of what's happened before. Have you ever compared your life with somebody else's life and thought how much better they seem to cope than I do? Well, whatever's happened in the past, it's gone. It's done. What does matter and is important is what is our present attitude to life. No good comes from dwelling on the past. Guilt or shame or whatever your feeling may be is not a solution. It's only a hindrance. Feelings must give way to forgiveness. Feeling guilty, must give way to guilt. To forgiveness, shame to humility, and regret to acceptance. It's also possible to look back on our lives and be optimistic. Yet what do you think is my relation with my Father? Is it stronger as a result of my trials? What have I learned about myself, others, and my God? Has it brought me closer to my brothers and sisters and my own family? Am I able to sympathise with others and maybe help them because I've suffered the same thing that they're going through? Am I thankful because of the situation that I was in? I should be, because I can see the Father's hand guiding me. It's made me a better person. And there's nothing hidden from God, as we know, in the past. Hebrews 12 verse 6 tells us, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjective to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he, our Father, to our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful in the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Every day we wake up in the morning is a trial and an opportunity for growth in our lives, but only if we're willing to listen and learn. The Apostle Paul suffered many great trials, which you and I will probably never have to suffer, thank goodness. But he suffered hunger, he was beaten, he was in jail, he was shipwrecked, and a lot more, we don't go through them. And what did Paul learn from his sufferings? Paul says when he looks back at his life, in Romans 5 verse 3 he says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. That of course is referring to them at that time. So we too can view our experiences in life as footprints in the steps of the one who went before us, our Master, Jesus Christ. We will not be overcome with disappointment and grief, but it will give us a peace of mind that God is with us every moment of the day. We are unable to change the past, as I said, and have no control over the future, but we can control and make the most of now. It matters not whether today is filled with joy or sorrow. We can approach it with the same attitude. Listen to this verse we all know and should cherish it very much. It's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We cannot know how things that will happen today will impact on our lives, or how they will influence those around us. I know that there have been many times in my life when I've struggled with some sort of situation, and only later, perhaps a few years later, it's helped me in my life to overcome similar situations much better. Intense trials and pressures prompt us to reevaluate our lives, and we make better decisions. It might mean a change in a location, perhaps your job or your lifestyle or something, whatever. It has developed your character. Now, one example is, of course, our Master Jesus Christ. Just think of the times that he worked his wonders. Now, we've talked about Paul, so we'll stay with Paul. The Apostle Paul spent many years in chains, didn't he? Patiently enduring terrible conditions. He could have given up hope and wondered why God had done this to him. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Paul could have felt that he was handicapped and could not help his brothers and sisters. So he would just be patient and sort of sit it out. No, that was not Paul's attitude at all. He decided to make the most of his confinement by studying the scriptures and encouraging the brotherhood and preaching the gospel. Bound as he was, day and night, to Roman soldiers, he thought it was a perfect opportunity to preach the truth. Unlike John was the person who visited many ecclesias in person and preached many key principles of the truth. But Paul didn't have that option, so what did he do? He put it in writing. So Paul's sufferings are there before us in the pages of the Bible. And we can read them today, 2,000 years later. And don't we read him as important and appreciate him for those wonderful things that he wrote? So we do not know what goodwill will come out of our trials that we are experiencing now. Though we may have many tests, we must remain optimistic, knowing that God knows what's best for us. We have to trust our Father in heaven. He knows what's best. Well, he's working in our lives, isn't he, to develop character. He needs from you, he needs from me. We can begin by thanking God for our life and whatever he has in store for us, be it good or bad. You must realize that nothing in our lives is by chance or just happens by fluke. Every breath we take is from God. Every beat of the heart is from God. God is in our lives. It may be helpful to consider how God has brought up us to this stage of our lives. We have some appreciation of how God works with his people, and it's in the wilderness, recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, "So God humbled you. He allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell those 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." Just for a moment, brothers and sisters, consider just how far God has brought you and all that you have learned in the process of your life up until today. Pause for a moment. Think of the day you found the truth God called you. Might be a few years ago. Then your baptism. And now, see where you are today. Some of us, me in particular, have come a long, long way. Have we not? We can now see the wonderful patience of our loving Father. He truly cares for you and for me. God helps us so we can confidently say what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:10. God delivers us from so great a death and does deliver us in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So, armed with prayer, optimism, and vision, we can all move on, no matter how much of a struggle it might be. For this is the path marked out by our Father for each one of us. And we know that in the end is eternal life. If we remain faithful. Brothers and sisters, we have a positive view of the future kingdom. But at times it is difficult to stay optimistic. For the future is full of the unknown, isn't it? It's especially with all the things that are happening in the world today. It's better probably if we don't spend too much time looking at the world as it is today. For whatever will be, will be. And we can do nothing about it. So no concern at all. For we know that God is in control of our future. He's directing our paths. Why should we fear what tomorrow may bring? If we put trust in our Father and seek to serve Him, He will guide our footsteps and take care of our every need. The psalmist writes in chapter 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Our every need, of course, is not that we shall enjoy everything and have a great life. The world makes much of the pursuit of happiness and the accumulation of material things. But of course, these are not our goals in life, are they? Our life has been dedicated to God. When we made our covenant with Him through the waters of baptism, it's a covenant made by two persons. God has promised to give us eternal life and provide for us in His life, in this life, you and me. We have promised to give up our free will. Well, that's the only thing that we can give God. So it's very much one-sided deal, isn't it? We give up one thing. God has given up His Son as a sacrifice to save us and continues daily to work in our lives to save us from our own lusts and desires. Matthew tells us in chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." We are some of the few. There will be times when we find it difficult to control our negative emotions. But rather than dwelling on negative thoughts and emotions, we should endeavour to acknowledge their presence and try and replace them with positive thoughts and emotions. One way of combating feelings of anxiety and negativity is to choose a favourite verse in your Bible and say that. Or perhaps just a simple phrase, and I've used this: "I choose to be happy in spite of circumstances, and I'm going to be happy." And I've used that, and it works. Knowing that these trials, are big or small, will come upon us, why do we spend so much time worrying if they'll come? Maybe they won't come. We all know that worry doesn't solve anything, does it? Whatever's going to happen will happen. And if they do come, we have reassurances from God of the result. Let's take a couple of verses from the Psalm 37, verse 4, which says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation you also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear." So then, our attitude to suffering is one of thankfulness and rejoicing, since God is there, working in our life, building up a character and strengthening our hope. We can also appreciate the sufferings of Christ, can't we? We learn to be more like him. An optimistic attitude towards future trials will help us to be prepared so that when they do come, we can be comforted by that fact, and that will strengthen our faith in our God. What is more, we'll know that we are never, ever alone. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Verse 9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we are all around the world going through the same process. And you all know that God has blessed us here in New Zealand better than most. For we do see some terrible situations overseas with our brothers and sisters. And they are in olden times, they were put to death and so on. So God has blessed us. God has given us an ecclesia where we can support and help one another. A time when there will be no suffering will come. When? Well, Revelation 21 verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with me, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he said, and he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So while many in the world are very worried about what's happening, especially with weather patterns, the hot and cold weather, the floods, the hurricanes, we've got one coming on Monday, isn't it? And then the future with Putin and Donald Trump, and then the North Korean guy, we've got much to worry about if you want to. But it's certain. If God didn't intervene, man would probably destroy himself. And as we see man's hearts failing them for fear, we can take courage and be full of optimism and hope, because we know that our Lord's return is near. Rather than being afraid, we should be rejoicing, for there are great signs in the Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Remember them in Luke 21, and Jesus said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be great earthquakes in various places, and famines, this is talking about the day, pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from the heavens. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity, for seeing the waves roaring, men's hearts failing and fear, and the experience of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because our redemption draws near. Our future brothers and sisters, we have no fear, for our Lord and Master will come to save us all.